Put some BTP sports in your cup and listen up.
I came to bring the pain.
What up, though?
I came to bring the pain.
No fluff, just real stuff.
I came to bring the pain.
Yo, what up, though, BTP fans and supporters, and welcome to episode 8 of BTP Sports Talk After Further Review. As always, I am your host, the Badger Mitchell Brock, and I am here with the great Sports Morpheus and the crew, as always. And we got a whole lot to talk to y'all about this
week.
We got a whole lot to get into this week, man. As you guys know, the NFL draft passed. We were out there in Vegas. Tripped over some credentials to go to a pretty star-studded boxing event. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we still got the NBA playoffs jumping off. So we are going to jump off into that, first of all. So let's talk about these NBA playoffs, man.
Man.
So I'll be honest and say, now, we agreed that the NBA playoffs or the NFL playoffs last year was probably one of the best NFL playoffs that we've seen in
a while. No question.
This NBA playoffs is kind of shaping up to be the same thing, mm-hmm. right? Now, so we're going to get into that. But first things first, obviously, mm-hmm. we got to take – oh, I see you. I see you. Show the people. I see you over here. So we got a little bit of business to take care of first. NFL alumni.
Yes. So those of you who don't know, actually, a couple of things that have happened over the past couple of weeks that we haven't been on the air. So mm-hmm. those who've been following know that I am been working with the NFL Alumni Wellness Program, specifically targeting obesity. I have since been named as the media captain for the NFL Alumni Wellness Program. So I'm very proud to share that. We also have a new member of the wellness program from the media. I'm not going to say his name yet, but y'all know him and just stay tuned. But that's going to be big. I'll just say he works for some company with four letters mm-hmm. in their name. So anyway, that being said, the last time we weighed in, I was at 350 even. 350. 350. I think yep. 350.6.
Yeah.
350.6 was the last weigh-in 2 weeks ago. So. Let's see where we are today.
Let's go. Instagram, come on with us.
It is flipping hot in here.
Mind you, we were on the road for a week. So
keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind, all right? Ready? Here y'all have it.
As usual.
Bam.
Stuff my guy.
Bam.
So it's 8 pounds. And that's
8 more of them gone.
And that's on the road. And that's after, what, 4 days in Vegas?
4 days in Vegas. Four
days in Vegas. Yes. But guess what? My bad, Instagram. We didn't do bad. Neither one of us.
Mm-mm.
Neither one of us really ate like a fool. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a couple of moments, mm-hmm. but we didn't just clown and act a fool. Mm-hmm. We both kept our eating regimen pretty much the same. So good job, brother. And sure. Tell them where they can sign up at.
Well, go to wellnesschallenge.nflalumni.org. This wellnesschallenge.nflalumni.org. You can see everything about the program there. Stay tuned for a lot more details coming. If you want to be a part of the program, we'd love to have you as part of the program. That information will be available as well. If you don't want to go through the website, you can also always contact us through our website as well. BTPSportsTalk.com.
Yes, yes, indeed. And also stay tuned for Brock Nutrition. It is official. I have officially gotten my LLC. So Brock Nutrition is a real thing. Stay tuned to that. We'll be accepting clients here very, very, very shortly. All right. So now let's get off into these NBA playoffs, as I alluded to. So like I said, we kind of agreed that this past NFL playoffs was like an epic.
Off the chain.
And this has been no different in the NBA, man. Mm-hmm. The parity in the league is coming back. Mm-hmm. There used to be a time where the East and the West the East or the West were both super top heavy.
Right.
Like, you know, back in like, say, the 90s, you mm-hmm. had, or like, say, the 80s, mm-hmm.
you had the Pistons and the Celtics.
The 76ers, mm-hmm. you know, late 80s, Atlanta Hawks with Dominique and those guys. They never really got to the finals, but, you know, you had, it was top heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And over in the West, basically, all you had was the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
You knew the Lakers was going to the finals. You just didn't know whether they was going to be playing the Pistons or the Celtics.
Right.
You know, and then the 90s came, and it was just the East. It was just Chicago Bulls. You knew you were playing Chicago Bulls in the East, but in the West, you had the Lakers. You had the Portland Trailblazers. You had the Dallas Mavericks. You had all these different teams. And then the 2000s, the parity started to even up a little bit. But now, this year, we did not have a single sweep in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Not one.
Yep.
Even the Pelicans snuck a game.
Yeah.
You know, surprise. And I told you, I said, they're going to get one.
Yeah, they got one.
They're going to get one.
They got one.
So, today, we got the Celtics and the Bucks, which is tied 1-1. And that series, I believe that's the Eastern Conference Championship, mm-hmm. if I'm going to just be honest with mm-hmm. you. Now, no disrespect to the Heat and the Sixers, or the Heat, because the Sixers are done. The Sixers, in my opinion, are done. Embiid is still out, as far as I know.
No, he played last night.
Did he play last night?
He played last okay. night. They All came right. back, and they beat the Heat pretty handily okay. last night.
Yeah.
It was on his shoulders, but I do agree, you know, with him not being at 100%, that presents a problem.
And Harden still hardening.
Oh, man.
I'm pointing for all of you that know. He had a streak. Again, I missed the game last night, and I didn't even get a chance to look it up, to be honest with you. So, what did Harden put up last night? You remember?
I want to say like maybe 17 or something like that.
He still got that streak of consecutive playoff games without scoring 25
points.
Yeah, but
it was mostly garbage. Like, you know, I think he had a lot of free throw attempts, and like it was Joel Embiid who willed them to victory last night. Clearly, he had I want to say like 12, 13 rebounds. Mm-hmm. He had some very big defensive moments, and he's playing with a broken orbital bone. So this bone
that's coming off a concussion too.
Coming off concussion. This bone around your eye. Just imagine that being fractured. And you having to play in the paint because he's a physical
he's
guy.
A baller, he's not yeah.
right. So you know he's got the face mask on. So he's out there playing with the Phantom of the Opera. I call it the Phantom of the Opera face mask.
The half joint. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Harden had that streak of I can't remember how many games it was up to 8, 9, 10 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Consecutive games without scoring at least 25 points in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are a superstar, if you are an alleged superstar, former MVP of the league.
Mm-hmm.
You got to
be sixth man of the year.
And sixth man of the year.
Yep.
You got to be able to do better than that.
Right.
Especially with your big boy out.
Right.
That was the time. And I said this when we was in Vegas. I said, oh, Embiid is out. Okay, bet. Harden, here's your chance.
That's not him.
Here's your chance.
That's not him.
Because here in Houston, as we all know, I was talking to somebody who doesn't live in Houston. I can't remember who it was. And they were like, well, what people don't talk about is how Harden disappears in the playoffs. I say, what rock you been living under?
Because mm-hmm.
here in Houston, that's all they talk about. Mm-hmm. Right. So what you think about that?
That's been his cachet. That's been his thing is mm-hmm. that when those big moments in the playoffs come up, James Harden is nowhere to be found.
Yep.
I've said the analogy a million times. He reminds me of the basketball version of Tony Romo.
Because
anytime perfect analogy. The lights are on, and the pressure's on, he's nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He even here in Houston, like it started before that,
mm-hmm.
but the crux of it was that Golden State series.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had two opportunities mm-hmm. to step it up
right.
when his Robin, so to speak, was out, even though I would consider him the Robin in Philly.
Right.
I think Embiid is definitely
right.
Batman.
No question.
But in Houston, even though he had Chris Paul, he was there first. So and he was league MVP.
Right.
So, of course, he was Batman. Game six, they had Golden State on
the ropes. Yep.
CP3 goes out with the, I think it was a hamstring, mm-hmm. pulled his hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to game seven
mm-hmm.
to go to the NBA Finals. CP3 is out. Harden lays
an
the
egg.
Biggest egg. I think he was 1 for 17. If mm-hmm. I remember off the top of my head, it was a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say he was 1 for 17 from three
mm-hmm.
and like 5 for 20-something in the game. Mm-hmm. How, bro? And now you fast forward to this year with Philly, your big guy is out. Mm-hmm. You had another chance to make everybody forget about all your past failures.
Right.
And you don't do it.
You lay an egg again.
Yep. So
that's been his thing.
Right.
He fails to deliver.
Right. So in my opinion, Philadelphia just solidified the fact that they won't get swept. Because it's 2-1, right. And I think that's all they're going to get. I think it's going to wind up 4-1.
It makes you kind of scratch your head, because the crazy part is he's going to wind up being in the Hall of Fame.
Numbers, yeah.
Numbers-wise, he's going to get there.
And bold prediction, I'm going to say that James Harden is going to get a championship.
Whose coattail is he going
to
ride
again? There you go. I didn't say James Harden is going to lead somebody to a championship. I say he's going to get one.
Right.
This is what he's going to do. Next year or two, he'll probably stay in Philly next year. Maybe within the next 3 years, he'll jump on with a Golden State or whoever's hot.
Come off the bench, right.
Come off the bench. Or he may even start. He may even start. But he'll latch on to somewhere, and he'll get one. He'll do what, like Gary Payton, Antoine Walker. He'll do what those guys did. Good looking Q. And he'll get one.
Mm-hmm.
But like you say, he will be a Hall of Famer for sure. So to go back to this Bucks and Celtics series,
it's a slugfest. It's going to be a slugfest.
Yeah, it is. And Giannis, man, good Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you what I said, and some people agreed, and some people tried to kill me for it. And I'm going to tell you whether you agree or disagree. This is in a sports talk group that you're not in.
Mm-hmm.
I say Giannis is the second coming of LeBron.
Close to it. I would agree that he's close to it.
Right.
From the physical nature, man, like, this dude he's different. He's one of those guys that's just different. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't train and work out and create that type of physical prowess that he's got. That's just, that's a God gift that he's got. His athleticism, his speed, all of the tangible stuff for an athlete, he's maxed out on all of that. Like,
He's 99s across the board. 99s
across the board. And then you add to the focus, the mentality, the attitude,
the humility.
Right. He's a demon on the court, but at the same time, he's a nice
gentleman.
Guy. Right.
He's a gentleman.
He's got it all.
Yeah.
He's got it all.
I knew he was my type of guy. Pause. I knew he was a gentleman when, after they won the championship, the first thing he did was went over to his family and hugged his parents and his wife or girlfriend or whatever and their children and sat with them. Mm-hmm. He's not with his teammates.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
He goes to his family in tears. That's when I knew I like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like this guy. He's what KD used to be, but I don't know what KD goes to Golden State. Now he's Billy Badass for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's all I meant when I said that Giannis was the second coming of LeBron. He is a physical freak that you can't do nothing with. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. He's aggressive. It's nothing you can do with him physically. Nothing. He's got all the physical intangibles.
And when you add the basketball IQ piece to it. And the dedication, because he's constantly improving. Any little flaws that he sees in his game, you see him. You don't see the same guy coming back every year.
Correct.
Without a short range jumper, you know, not ability to have his back to the basket, not able to run the floor. If he finds a flaw in his game, and he works on it, gets better every year.
Because his first few, here's the thing, Giannis had been in the league like 5-6 years before he blew up. There's pictures of skinny Giannis with no hair sitting on the Bucks bench. A lot of people think Giannis just got in the league.
No, he's been around for a little while.
He's kind of like Steph Curry.
Right.
He took a minute to Steph had been in the league again, probably 5-6 years before Steph played with guys like Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes in them. He was there, but it took a while for him to ascend to what he is now.
Right.
It's kind of what Giannis is. And like you said, his first few years, he couldn't hit the broad side of a barn with a basketball. Now, even up until last year, he couldn't really shoot.
Right.
Now he come back this year, and like you said, he got this mid-range jumper. He's making his free throws now. This kid is going to start averaging. I think he's averaging like 32 this year.
Yeah.
Next year, he's going to be 35 a season, a night, I mean. So, and then on the flip side of that, you got somebody who don't, those of us who are in the basketball, we talk about him, but he doesn't get that superstar push that I think he deserves, and that's Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
Tatum is a monster. He's a monster. Bro. He's nasty. So talk about
he's nasty. He's physical. He's smart basketball player. Mm-hmm. Again, a guy with a lot of the tools. Not quite the physical specimen that a guy like LeBron or Giannis is, but you can see the work that he puts in. You can see that he spends extra time in the gym and extra time in the film room.
Yeah. He's not a physically athletic freak, but he's a big dude.
Big solid.
I didn't realize he was that big. He's 6'8 and about 230.
Right.
So he ain't much smaller than LeBron.
Not a lot
LeBron.
Of food left on the plate when he gets up from the table.
Tatum is a big guy, man. So, I'm really feeling that series. And then the final game today is going to be the Grizz and the Warriors.
That is a great series. That's exciting. Knock 'em, sock 'em robots right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Grizzlies are not afraid of the Warriors.
No.
Not at all. This series very easily could be 2-0 Memphis right now.
Yeah.
Very easily.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, everybody's talking about, of course, you know, Ja went off in game two and scored 47, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking off the court. I still don't know what he said. But he's walking off the court, and Steph walked by him, and he said something to Steph. And you could tell it was trash talk, because Steph kind of looked at him like,
what?
Yeah. And then he kept walking. Mm-hmm. And you go on the internet, and everybody's like, uh-oh, he done woke the sleeping giant. He shouldn't have said nothing to Steph. Why?
Why?
He's a competitor.
Right.
Talk your stuff, John. Right. You just dropped 47.
Yeah, you backed it up already.
Talk your stuff. Right. And we have no reason to believe that he's not going to continue to back it up.
Right.
That kid is listen.
Like I said, he gives me Afro Kobe vibes. Like the young Kobe, number 8.
The attitude?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Now, game-wise, a lot of people say young Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm.
The energy.
I can see that.
The high-flying energy, the playing above the rim, the dunks.
At 6'3", 180 pounds. He's a string bean.
He don't even have his grown man body yet.
Right. He's only 22.
Right.
Yeah.
So a couple of years from now, he's going to have that thing built out, man. Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. He's a star in the making.
Yeah.
Superstar in the making. I should say. He was already a star.
Right. Now, who I compared him to, and you tell me agree or disagree, I see young Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm.
With the explosiveness.
More of the above stuff, the above the rim stuff. But yeah, that first step is deadly.
When this kid decides he wants to get up off the floor, it ain't nobody in his.
Just get ready to be on somebody's wall on a poster.
It's nobody that can. It's nobody that can jump with him in the league right now at his size.
It's like he jumps twice. Like he jumps and he's in the air and then he jumps again.
like on Super Mario Brothers, like the climb the brick, the blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he gets up in the air and he just sits. He's got a. You know who he reminds me of when he jumps off the floor? He's got the explosion of Derrick Rose and he's got the hang time of Clyde Drexler.
Mm.
Remember how Clyde Drexler used to just kind of not
glide? Right. Like he was called the glide for a reason.
Right. Yeah. It just happened to rhyme. They didn't do that because it rhymed with his name.
Right.
It just happened to rhyme with his name.
Right.
But like when Jordan went up in the air, he just kind of sat there. When Ja or say Clyde Drexler got up, they kind of did this. He's like an airplane. Whoa, he literally just kind of
cruising altitude.
But then when he gets to the rim, he finishes nasty.
Mm.
He finishes nasty. Yeah. So. Let's go prediction. So we already agreed that Miami is going to take Philly out.
Mm-hmm.
And we did predictions before the series, but now that the series have started and we see how it's going, we'll revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
So Bucks and Celtics, who you got? In what?
I got to go Bucks in 7.
I agree.
I think the experience is going to be what pushed them over the top.
I agree 100%.
The Boston's gritty and nasty, but the Bucks have been there and they've done it, so they got to – you got to prove me wrong.
Yeah. Grizzlies, Warriors. I know what you want to say. I know what your heart wants to say.
You know what I want to say. I do know that I'm trying to recall who they have. The Grizzlies have a guy that got suspended tonight.
Oh, yeah. The knockdown.
I don't have it right in front of me. I'm going to begrudgingly say Warriors in 6, even though I wanted to say Grizzlies, but I'm going to say Warriors in 6.
We right on. I exact same thing. Warriors in 6. Now, tomorrow, we got another series that is 2-1, mm-hmm. but it's actually a pretty good series if you watch it. And that's Phoenix and Dallas.
Mm.
Right. So Phoenix is up 2-1 and Devin Booker's back. And that was my only worry. Right. I say if Devin Booker is healthy, they're my pick to win it all.
Right.
If everybody's healthy, he's back. He looks healthy. What's your thought on that series?
I'm gonna go ahead and say Suns in five.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Because the Joker just ain't got no help, man.
Right.
He just not the Joker. I'm sorry. Jokic.
Jokic. Yeah. He's not. He's not quite 100% yet either.
Yeah. No, he's not. He still got that. Was it ankle?
Ankle sprain. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, yeah. And I think it's CP3's time. Mm-hmm. I think this might be his last chance.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the worst luck of anybody I've ever seen, bro. Like last, I mean, to go back to that Rocket series with Golden State, if he doesn't get hurt in game six,
mm-hmm.
I think they 100%. First of all, they close out in game six.
Mm-hmm.
I think they close out Golden State in six, and there is no game seven. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. But when he went out, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's his year, man.
CP3's career is kind of like what Magic would have been like if he was drafted by the Clippers.
Wow.
Just phenomenal talent, but just don't quite have it around you, you know?
No, he's always had it around him, bro.
I mean, he's had Harden. He's had
No, go back to the Clippers. Prime DeAndre – unstoppable DeAndre Jordan. Prime Blake Griffin.
Those guys were good. They had Jamal but they Crawford
coming
like,
off the bench. Bro,
none of those guys going to the Hall of Fame though. Like, what Hall of Famer did he play with besides Harden? You know,
touche.
Yeah,
touche, touche.
Like Magic touché. Had like three or four of
touché.
Them.
Like, touche, yeah. He had the captain.
He had Worthy. He had
Did Magic Cooper. Play with Elgin Baylor?
No,
not Elgin Baylor. I'm sorry, Jamal Wilkes.
Jamal Wilkes.
Yeah, Elgin Baylor. I went way back.
How great was that team that we forget about Jamal Wilkes?
Jamal Wilkes was like your fourth option, and he was a bucket. Jamal Wilkes was a bucket, bro. Yeah. So he was the man. He was the scorer before they got Magic.
Yep.
You know. So, but yeah. So that's what we're thinking about the NBA playoffs. Well, now that we got that out the way. Let's talk about what we really do here, and that is football.
Football.
So, as you guys know, we went out to Las Vegas for the NFL draft, and this was our first time actually getting to go.
Mm-hmm.
We actually got credentialed the COVID year.
The year before COVID.
It was for the 2020 okay. draft.
Yeah,
but
it all kind of runs together.
This was
year number nine, folks.
Right,
you're getting a little old.
Yeah, the first time we actually got the credential was 2020,
mm-hmm.
and of course we didn't go due to COVID. We got them again last year, and we couldn't make it for whatever reason. Maybe in our work schedule or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it's probably my work schedule, knowing what I was doing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, we got the credentials, and we were actually able to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was – the experience of the draft itself was great.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of like L.A. with the Super Bowl, I feel like the logistics of Vegas were absolutely horrible.
Well, it was because they force-fed the event to the Strip.
Mm-hmm.
I think, personally, if they had the draft at – the Raiders Stadium at Allegiant Stadium, everything's mapped out so that they built that stadium with the Super Bowl in mind. If you mm-hmm. drive by Allegiant Stadium, there's a nice string of hotels there.
Yep.
There's like three or four highways that intersect right there.
So huge you can
move people around.
Huge
a lot of space.
Yep.
They could have had the draft and all the events associated with the draft at the stadium, but
right.
no, they wanted to do it on the Strip where all the hotels are and all. Yeah, of course, it's money. We get it, NFL. We get it. But at the same time, man, woo, man, it was real rough moving people around, and then you shut the Strip down where you didn't have vehicle traffic on it, so everybody's on foot.
Yep.
So
and scooters.
Yeah.
Foot and scooters.
Yep.
We walked and I wish if I had time I'd show it to y'all. The very first day we were there, we literally walked 9 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Just walking around getting to where we had to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that because I looked at my watch. I walked 4 miles that morning myself, just my normal exercise routine. And when we got back to the hotel, I checked my steps and my watch said 13 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked 13 miles that first day we got there. Now that first day we actually got in the car and was riding around, we rode around for probably easily an hour,
mm-hmm.
hour and a half before we actually found where we were supposed to park and mm-hmm. where we were supposed to go into.
Mm-hmm.
The instructions were pretty good once you got into
the facility,
yeah, right. But just getting to the facility was an absolute nightmare, yeah. man. So, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
It was worth it. As y'all saw from our coverage, man, we were right up front. We had a perfect view and it was a good time though, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the crowd was lit, huh?
Mm-hmm. They were all engaged to it and it was all the different fans from all of the teams. Like some of the teams, I'm surprised they even had fans. Where the hell did Jacksonville get fans from? But, you know, it was just a great experience for all the fans. They got an opportunity to get out. They did a lot of events across the city as well.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the fans got out to, you know, meet some former players, do some autograph sessions and photos, and they had the NFL fan experience and all that stuff. So it's good for the fans. I like the fact that they're moving the draft around.
Yes.
To some of these cities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to be brutally honest here. I'm not crazy about Vegas as a football city.
No.
Vegas – especially the Raiders, man. I'm old school. I believe that football belongs in football towns. Y'all did Oakland dirty, man.
Yeah, they did.
That's just real talk.
Yeah, they did.
That team bled black and silver.
They still do.
They still love the Raiders. That's one of them along with the Steelers, the Packers.
Oh.
And the Browns and Lions. They're like some of the most diehard in the Bills. The most diehard, passionate. They don't give a Buffalo damn how bad there. The yeah. teams are. They love their team. And you guys did Oakland bad because it wasn't a lack of fan support why they moved.
No.
It was because
they wanted a new stadium.
The political BS and the money between the politicians mm-hmm. and the rich folks as to why they didn't build a new stadium, and they saw an opportunity in Vegas. So, but that brand meant so much to those people in Oakland, man. They love football. When I think of a Raiders fan, I think of the dude that worked all day in a steel mill that has the boots on. He's got the Raiders logo on his lunch pail. He's got the Raiders logo on his hard hat.
Yep.
He worked all damn day. He's tired as hell. He come home. He worked his ass off to buy those Oakland Raiders tickets.
Yep.
He's got the old Art Shell jersey or something like that. And on game day, he paints his face with the face paint. That's a Raiders fan.
Right.
Not the wimpy guy who bought 500 shares of Tesla when they first IPO'd and sitting around drinking his sissy mimosa with an Egyptian cotton t-shirt on. That's not a Raiders fan.
I got Egyptian cotton t-shirt.
Well, I'm just saying.
They're quite comfortable, I might add. Go ahead.
But, I mean, the Raiders fan, that to me, that's a Raiders fan. You know, that they deserve better, and the NFL screwed them.
Yeah, they did. Well, I wouldn't say the NFL.
Well,
I would say the city of Oakland.
The ownership and this, you know, and in all fairness, the Davises too. Because, I mean, they went with the money, which I get it's a business, but they got caught in the middle of politics. They got yeah. caught in the crossfire of politics and money.
And he did what he had to do for his franchise.
Right.
And he moved them to.
It sucks.
Now, the thing about Vegas is, you know, everybody's saying, oh, Vegas is not a sports town, which it's not traditionally.
It's a boxing town for sure.
There you go. I was going to say, boxing is a sport.
Right.
And boxing is Vegas.
Right.
Now, they put a hockey team there, the Knights, and their very first year in existence, they went to the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
They lost, but they went.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there have been rumblings that they're talking about putting an NBA team in Vegas. Now mm-hmm. they got the arena and the place to hold them, and they've got a sports base.
Sacramento Kings.
You think so?
Nobody's going to the damn Sacramento Kings game.
Like, that's true.
If you buy the team package and you got on shorts and sneakers, you might get some minutes off the bench. Nobody cares about the Kings.
Point.
They're terrible. I couldn't name the two or three players on their roster. Nobody cares about the Kings.
You know what? You're right. I can't name a single Sacramento Kings
right.
player.
Right.
Is Chris Webber still playing with them? White Chocolate, Bobby Jackson?
Right.
Reggie Theus?
Right. Like, Vlade Divac could probably come out of retirement right now
and get
some minutes with them. Like, who cares about the Kings? Just shut the franchise down. Preferably move them back to Seattle because that's another time they got robbed of a franchise. The Supersonics they used to pack that stadium out. Man, you're talking about some tough fans that used to get down for that team.
Yeah.
The Supersonics, man.
Yeah, the Sonics are dope, man.
Yeah.
we'll talk a little bit about the draft. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where everybody saw it. It's 32 teams. Mm-hmm. We got an hour on the show, so we're not going to really go over. We'll talk about the top couple of picks, and you know why we got to talk about the top couple of picks. Mm-hmm. So big surprise, the first pick overall was Trayvon Walker. Now everybody was saying, oh, now originally it was the Jags are going to take an offensive tackle in the first draft. Evan, the kid from Bama, I'm drawing a blank. And then it started going, but then they addressed that need in free agency, right? Mm-hmm. So now it was like, well, what they going to do now? Oh, they're going DN. Well, will it be Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon? Or will it be Hutchinson. Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan?
Right.
And then, like, the day before the draft, matter of fact, it might have been that morning, it started circulating. They're talking about taking Trayvon Walker first overall. Now, personally, Walker's a baller. Number one overall over Hutchinson or Thibodeau. I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Number one overall pick, there's a lot of pressure to get that right.
Yeah.
Because there's always going to be the questions of, man, you guys passed on everybody.
Yeah.
You passed on everybody else with that number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
And those other two guys that you mentioned, to me, their film jumps off the charts.
Right.
Walker's doesn't, per se. Like, he's a solid player. I think he's a solid first-round pick, no question.
Mm-hmm.
But number one overall, and you had a chance to get Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Oof. Like I said, he may prove us wrong. And, you know, we wished him all of the very
absolutely.
Best.
Absolutely.
Well, there's going to be a lot of questions that come back 2-3 years down the road. Because one of those guys is going to be an all pro.
Yeah.
There's no question to me. Hutchinson, it's just hopefully. A matter of who I think Hutchinson, but Hutchinson, I mean, hopefully. One of those guys is going to become an all pro. And if one of the others don't, then you're going to question. If Walker doesn't, you're damn sure going to question him. Like, man, you passed on this guy for that guy.
Yeah. And you know what? Like we always say, it's all a crapshoot, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, college film is one thing. College game is another thing. Look how many we could go on and on about guys at any position
right.
who were absolute studs in college who were duds in the league. Mm-hmm. And then you can go to these late round picks or some UFAs mm-hmm. who go to the league. And of course, the poster child for that is Tom Brady, mm-hmm. 6th round pick, 212th overall. Mm-hmm. And he's the GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
So you just never know, man. And it's all about fit, too.
Right.
It's all about fit and situation, which is the reason why I think just in my research is why Jacksonville went Trayvon Walker, because he can play. Hutchinson and Thibodeau are kind of specialists.
Right.
They're kind of pad. They both
they're edge guys.
They're edge guys. They're straight 100% edge guys. Like I've always drawn a comparison. To me, Hutchinson reminds me of young J.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, just the way he plays.
Mm-hmm.
Thibodeau kind of reminds me of, I would say, like a young DeMarcus Ware.
Mm-hmm.
Like he can 3-4 guy.
3-4 guy
who can play the edge.
Or he can stand up.
Or he can stand up.
Right.
He can cover a little bit.
Right.
He's got some speed. He's got some agility.
Right.
Walker, he could do a little bit of both.
Right.
He could play a little bit of inside.
Right.
He could, because he's a big guy. He could play inside. He could play any tech.
Right.
He could play 3-7.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So maybe that's why as a fit for them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, while I was live while we were watching the draft down in Vegas, and as soon as I heard with the number one pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select, I had my fingers crossed, Trayvon. I was like, yes, because then I knew we was going to get our guy.
Well, you were nervous about that, too.
A little bit. A little bit.
Suddenly, the ghost of Matt Millen reappeared for a brief moment or two.
I tell you like this, man. If we would have took – now, I almost knew we weren't taking Thibodeau because Dan Campbell said he didn't – not that he didn't like Thibodeau, but he didn't think Thibodeau was a fit for us.
For what they're trying to do.
Right. Because I think Tib is more of a 3-4 guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And shout out to my man Roman Thibodeau. Every time I say Tib,
I think about my guy
Thibodeau. What's up, Tib? I think he's more of a 3-4. Like I said, like more of a DeMarcus Ware maybe. Mm-hmm. Hutch, we run a 43. And we need guys who can just come off the edge like bats out of hell. And because we got, look at our division with quarterback. We got to play number 12 twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think, and of course I wanted Hutch just because do I think Hutchinson is a baller? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Was I biased because he's a born and raised Metro Detroit kid? Absolutely. Went to Dearborn Divine Child, which was one of my rival high schools. As a matter of fact, he went to Michigan. So did I want them to get him? Was that part of it? Absolutely.
But to me, it's part of that intangible stuff that there's nothing like playing for the team that you love, the city that you love, the state that you love.
Yep.
That boy loved Michigan, man. He loved the state. He loved the city.
Yep.
He loved. He had in his jacket the like his vision board.
Yep.
He had a vision board since he was a kid, man. When he was a child, he said he was going to play for the Michigan Wolverines.
Yep.
And he went out and did it. You know how profound that is to somebody?
Yep.
To have a vision as a child, as a baby.
Yep.
And shout right out. There on the wall.
Yep.
And he made it come true. So you know, intrinsically, the next step after you leave the Michigan Wolverines is to play for the Lions, man. Yep. I mean, he's going to give that little piece extra that he, you know, that's in him because he loves the state, he loves his people there so much, man. So it's a great story, man. I think he's gonna do a damn good job for the Lions.
Now, and I will give him credit for being transparent, because when he was asked in some interview about how would it feel to play for the Lions, he boldly said, "To be honest, I didn't grow up a Lions fan."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I was a Tom Brady fan. So I was a Patriots fan, but if the Lions draft me, I'm going to play hard and give them all I got because that is my home state."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "I like this kid."
Mm-hmm.
He didn't give the PC answer.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't lie.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, "Oh yes, I always dreamed of playing for the Lions." Da-da-da-da-da. He was like, "No, honestly, I didn't grow up a Lions fan, but I'm gonna give them all." And that's all you can ask.
Right.
That's all you can ask.
Right.
But he's living the dream, man. He's living my dream. Could you imagine if I would have came out of Detroit St. Martin de Porres, which is arguably the most storied, and I ain't arguably nothing, the most the most storied high school football program in the state of Michigan, and then go to Michigan, finish second in the Heisman Trophy, and then get drafted number 2 overall by the Lions? Lord, could have took me the next day, man. That's the dream. You know, but football wise, he's a fit. We need him. Now all he's got to do is produce. All he's got to do is produce. So we'll see, man. You want to talk about what your Cowboys did?
I'm okay with the Cowboys pick. And I, a lot of Cowboys fans are angry. And as usual, well, I'm sorry. Let me walk that back. A lot of Cowboys
affiliates, there you go,
are angry, not fans. Our offensive line is in trouble, man. Tyron Smith,
he's done.
Is done. We got no answer. We literally had nobody left guard. And I'm glad we decided to go ahead and pull the plug on Connor Williams and be done with that. Connor Williams, Connor McGulliver, all of them. Connor McGregor, I don't give a damn. All of them. Anybody named Connor.
Jimmy Connors.
Right, exactly. the law firm of Connor and Connor. Pull them. But you definitely need help in left guard. You got rid of Leo Collins, which I agree with because, number one, he's not worth the money nor the drama. So you got rid of him.
Yep.
So you commit to Terrence Steele at right tackle. But that left side of that line is in big, big trouble. This is a guy that he's a project. Mm-hmm. I agree. But he's shown that he can pass protect, which is the number one thing. We're a passing football team.
Now
we're a passing football team. So you need a guy who can take care of Dak's blind side and give him time. Because when he is pressured, again, Dak turns into Seneca Wallace overnight. When he feels that pressure.
Wow, this man says
he turns into Seneca Wallace, man. So he needs someone that can solidify the left side of the line. So this year the plan is to play him at left tackle. There's also another guy I can't recall right off the top of his name, but they drafted him from North Dakota State.
Oh, yeah. The big white kid.
Right. He was the number 22 left tackle in college football last year.
So dominated at the Senior Bowl.
Dominated at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
And I think he potentially could be want to be in a draft deal. So they might have tripped and fell on the answers for their offensive line right there.
Right.
That guy, he's going to play swing tackle this year. And, of course, we already know, man, Tyron Smith probably injured halfway through the show. So he's going to get an opportunity to start some at left tackle. And do like Terrence Steele did, man. Get the job and don't give it back.
That's it.
That's my thing.
Yep.
Good. So Cowboys affiliates – you know, as usual, have a seat.
When you get in there, do what you're going to, because you're going to play.
Right.
You're not going to be Tyron Smith's backup and not play.
Right.
He's going to get hurt.
Right.
And I'm not, you know, disparaging a brother, and I'm not wishing that on him.
Right.
It's just what it is.
It's just what it is. He hasn't had a complete season since.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I mean, somebody show us where we're lying.
Show and prove. Hey, show me the lie.
Right.
Show me the lie.
And tell me.
Yeah. So my Lions, actually got an A-plus in the draft. You know, second round, we went out and got second pick in the first round. We got Jameson Williams, wide receiver out of Bama.
Explosive.
Who was the top receiver in the draft
right
before the knee injury. Right. He got hurt in
the championship game.
The championship game.
Yes, Georgia.
Yeah. And before that, he was the number one receiver on the board. Right. So we rolled the dice a little bit on him.
Right.
And if healthy, because that's what we needed. We needed somebody who can get down the field and stretch the field. We got, with everybody healthy, everybody's crapping on Jared Goff, but last year he was missing his starting left tackle,
right,
his starting right guard, his starting running back, his
Hockenson
was out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody healthy. Jared Goff is not a bad quarterback. No. Look what this man
took the Rams to a Super Bowl.
And people are like,
did you forget?
Look at the team around him. He made the Pro Bowl that year.
Right.
So clearly he has something to do with it.
Right.
So if you could put that kid in a decent situation with some decent weapon and some protection, I'm not saying we're going to compete in the grand scheme of things for a Super Bowl or even win anything. But we're not going to be in the toilet with him and everybody healthy. That's right. My opinion.
Right.
And then we had some good pickups. We had a good draft. I'm anxious to see how it goes. Now, he's still a rental. This is probably still his last year. And I still would have liked to see us pick up Malik Willis.
Oh, man.
I still would like to have seen us get him.
He's got an amazing opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Because Tannehill, ooh, man.
He's on thin ice, man. Yeah, he's on thin ice. But so that was our experience at the draft, man. So now let's transition into boxing. And it feels I feel a little bit dirty talking boxing without our two for real. We like boxing, but our guy Mike Tula and the champ Ricky Jackson. I feel dirty talking boxing without them two. Well, at least one of them two here. But we're gonna do it anyway. His daddy look like Mr. Brown. But let's talk about some boxing. So we're in the workroom at the draft, and it was, you know, getting kind of slow. So I'm just scrolling my phone. I'm on social media. I'm on Facebook, and I see a flyer pop up, and I see Rockman versus Morrison. Of course, I recognize those two names in boxing. And then I see Tommy Morrison. I'm like, wait a minute. Is this old? Well, it was actually Mackenzie Morrison who. This boy looks so much like his daddy. It is scary.
He walks like him. He fights like him.
He's spitting. It got the curly blonde hair. Mackenzie Morrison, who's a heavyweight fighter now, looks exactly. And I thought it was just maybe the flyer, but we were ringside. Mm-hmm. And up close, he is his father. So that's what caught my eye. And I said, man, boxing is here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a little research. And of course, Haseem Rockman, who famously knocked out Lennox Lewis, Haseem Rockman Jr. That was the main event. And they were fighting each other for a vacant heavyweight championship. So I said, man, that's tomorrow. So we found out who the promotion was, Roy Jones Promotions. We like, okay. So we found the connect, reached out to the promoter, and voila, we got credentials. Cause that's what we do. So we in the building. You want to start it off?
I'm gonna let you have this one.
Okay, all right. So we walk in the building, and it's at the Virgin Hotel Theater, which holds about 3,500. So we walk in, and I'm gonna be honest, we were the first local or independent media outlet there. We see the big, Fight TV. We see the Fight TV cameras all over the place. And we get there, and we're like, so where's the media? And they pointed to this platform. This platform literally overlooked the ring. I could have threw a spitball and hit one of the fighters.
Mm-hmm.
You probably can't tell from the video, but that's how close we were, right? So first fight comes out, and sure enough, there's Roy Jones. Y'all saw, I did the video. Roy Jones is sitting there. So we like, okay, this might be a decent little event. Some good boxing. And it was called Sons of Legends, right? So check this out. Haseem Rockman Jr., obviously who his father is, fought Tommy Morrison Jr. in the main event. Jesus Christ, I'm drawing a blank. Roberto Duran's son fought on the card. The great Gerald McClellan, who I went to high school with Gerald's sister. of course, he got paralyzed in a fight years ago, but he was on his way. He was on his mm-hmm. way. His son's a fighter. Mm-hmm. So it was almost every fight featured the son of a boxing legend.
Right.
And I thought that was really dope.
Right.
And on the mic, they had Roy Jones and Sugar Shane Mosley Jr. on the mic. So it was just, it was really a dope. I don't know who came up with that idea, but that was a dope idea.
Right.
And it had a good crowd.
Yeah.
It was slow at first.
Right.
And I was like.
During the draft.
Yeah. During the NFL draft, which proves our point.
Right.
NFL draft, boxing is still king in Vegas. Mm-hmm. So we see Sugar Shane Jr. So after the event, we're walking around, you know, getting B-roll, getting footage. And who do we see walking behind Sugar Shane Jr.? Sugar Shane Sr. I'm like, yo, got to go get him. So we go over and we had some words with Sugar Shane. And, you know, y'all saw the pic with him. Super cool, down to earth brother, Super cool and down to earth brother. So let's back up just a little bit. Toward the end of the event, we see what looks like a ball of muscle. Just a little bitty ball of muscle walking through. And first we hear the roar of the crowd. Nothing is going on. It's between fights. And we just hear this pop from the crowd. And pop is a big ovation for those of you who don't watch professional wrestling. We hear this pop from the crowd and we look and we see this little swole dude walking through and somebody goes, yo, that's Mike Tyson. I said, no, here? No, it can't be. Bro, that's Mike Tyson. We looked. That was Mike Tyson. I've told this man on several occasions. I've told my wife on several occasions. My Mount Rushmore of professional athletes are Barry Sanders, Isaiah Thomas, Lou Whitaker, Mike Tyson. Those are my top four favorite athletes of all time. I looked Rich. I said, it's happening tonight. Well, I don't know if we're going to be able to get to him. You know, everybody knows what he just went through with the airport, you know, I mean, on the airplane, you know, putting hands on old buddy in the airplane. And he's got all this security around him. I said, it's happening tonight. I'm not leaving this arena until I meet Mike Tyson. I may never get this opportunity again. I'm meeting Mike Tyson tonight. So you can't get near him. Security all around him. So after the event, he's walking toward the stage, the platform where we are. What we don't know is that we were right in front of the exit, the back exit of the arena, which is where they were taking all the stars that were there out. We didn't know that at the time. So Rich goes, bro, he walking up the stairs. I said, he coming up the stairs. So he's walking, all security around him. I just yelled it. I say, I'm going for it. They're going to have to tell me no. Mm-hmm. I started walking toward him. I said, hey, yo, champ. And he looked at me. And I say, and I know the look. The look was, I don't know. He was not sizing me up like he wanted to do something to me, but he was looking at me like, trying to see, like, is this dude
straight?
Of course, we about the same. So I'm heavier than Mike, but stature wise, from the picture you see, we about the same size. So he's looking like, I don't know. And then I saw his eyes soften up, and I said, champ, I just want to get a picture with you, man. And he goes, all right, come on, make it quick. I go over there and I put my hand out to shake his hand again. He looked at me. Not going to lie. For a split second, I said, uh-oh. And once again, I saw his face. I saw his eyes soften. And then he grabbed it. He grabbed my hand. And I'm not going to lie to you, bro. This was the second time that another man touched me and I felt a chill. Because the first one was Barry Sanders. Mm-hmm. I said, wow, I am shaking probably the most infamous right hand on the planet mm-hmm. that ever existed. This right hand right here is the most infamous right hand on the planet, and I'm shaking it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, I'm taking a picture with the champ. Rich snapped a picture for me, and Rich was like, champ, let me get one. And soon as we got ready to switch positions, Mike's handler was like, all right, we got to go, Mike. Mm-hmm. And Mike had that look like, yeah, mm-hmm. sorry.
Yep.
And but you had met him before. Mm-hmm. You didn't get a pic with you, but you met him in Vegas.
He paid for my parking.
Yeah,
I was at the M.
Yeah,
and I'm standing there waiting on the valet because I didn't see the valet anywhere, and I just see like this again, like this ball of muscle like out of my peripheral come up next to me, and I look, oh crap, that's Chet. What's up, Mike?
Yeah,
ain't know what to say or get the hell out of the way or what.
Yeah.
So we start shooting the breeze, talking about our kids and stuff, and the valet finally comes, and I pull him over. He said, no, I got you. Hey, take care of get him, too. Get the valet $300.
Yeah.
Pay for my car, my parking, and his, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Solid dude, man. And see, the thing about Mike Tyson is, now that I've seen him up close in person, his size is deceptive.
Right.
And it goes two ways. First of all, he's shorter than I thought he was, mm-hmm. because they always listed him at 5'10".
He ain't no 5'10".
I'm 5'10", right. I'm 5'10 and a half. Right. I'm a little bit over 5'10". And you saw I had Mike by this much. Mike is probably 5'9", mm-hmm. tops. But when I tell you he as...
His back is like this monitor behind us.
Muscle. When he walked away the first time, when we saw him on the floor walking, I guess he was going to the restroom because he came right back. I said, bro, look at his back. His back, shoulders, and neck are massive. And he's 55 years old now. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine and he's the same weight as he was then. He's about 220, mm-hmm. 225. His back, neck, and shoulders are absolutely massive. Like, mm-hmm. imagine my frame, but with just muscle on top of muscle. That's what he's built like. Mm-hmm. So he's bigger than I thought he was, but he's also shorter than I thought he was. So you don't recognize him until you really, really look at him. But yeah, man, it was a dope experience. That one's going on the wall in the man cave for sure, with the champ, man. But and then I don't know if you saw this or not, but after I saw this, I think that it was the day we got back, I saw something on the internet that unfolded that night,
mm-hmm.
with that lady. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
So. We know what happened with the airport thing or on the airplane, which is why he had all security around him. But that same night at the fight, there was a woman. He was walking out probably when he went to the restroom because he was walking that way. And that was the only time he left during the fight. Trust me, I was watching him because he wasn't going to leave without me getting to him.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a woman. He was about to take a picture with somebody, and a woman reached around him and put her hand in his face. And he kind of like shoot her off, like he got ready, like he was about to throw. So after so that was clearly before I met him, because everything was still going on. Everything was over when I met him. That's when I said, oh, that's why he was so on edge, because mm-hmm. he had already had on top of the airplane, he had already had a little bit of an incident that night.
Like to agitate these right. people.
Right.
With the intent of getting their 60 seconds of fame and or some type of lawsuit settlement.
Right.
I hate that in this society. Like, this man should be able to go out and have a good night, that's enjoy it. The fight, and go home.
He don't bother nobody.
He didn't bother nobody. He went to use the bathroom and get a drink.
Yep. Because we thought he was leaving. Because right. remember, I was like, hey, yo, bro, he on his way out. I was like, dang, well, we missed it. But then when he came back like 5 minutes later, we like, oh, he went to go take a piss, you know. But yeah, we saw that woman reached the person he's taking a picture with is on this side. And a woman reached around this side and put her hand in the picture. And he kind of like jumped. So mm-hmm. I was like, that's why he was a little bit on edge, because I could tell when he looked at me, it was kind of like. And then I saw his face soften, like, cool. Mm-hmm. So that was my experience meeting the champ, man. You know, epic moment in my media career and in my life in general. So I've got two of my four bucket list professional athletes that I've met. I've met Isaiah years ago when I was, you know, like a kid, but I haven't met him as an adult yet. So, but shout out to Roy Jones Promotions for hooking us up, man, with the credentials. And I can't remember her name, but also we also got to witness Roy Jones.
He received his official certificate and his official notification that he's being inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. No, that one was the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame.
Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. Yeah.
But he is getting inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame in June.
Right.
And you know BTP will be in the building. Mm-hmm. It's in somewhere in New York.
Somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere in New York. But we'll be there. We'll be there. So, that's that, man. That's that. It has been a great show. And as always, we thank you guys.
You guys have one more thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, every good message, I think, you know, there's always, when you have a good message, you got to take care of your message.
You do.
Right?
Well.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna preach to y'all, But I do think that there's a time where you got to give back.
Got to.
You know what I'm saying? Am I off beat here?
No, or not at all. Not at all.
We are starting for the very first time, and we want all of you to give with your hearts and all of your thoughts. It's time to pass the building fund. Yeah.
Oh.
Give all you can. We like the kind we like the kind that folds.
And not jiggles.
But we'll accept the kind that clicks.
That clicks.
So how can you donate to the BTP Sports Builder Fund? Real easy. That little device that you got that's called a phone.
The one you're holding right now.
The one you're holding in your hand right now.
The one you're holding right now.
Open that bad boy up. Swipe it through the face recognition, your thumbprint, whatever it is. Go to your Play Store or to your Apple Store. You download whatever your favorite podcast app is, right? Whenever you get into that app, you're going to put these three letters in there. BTP. You're going to see a picture of us come up right next to you, either on the left or on the right, depending on how your app is formatted. It's going to be a little button that's called subscribe. Click.
That's it.
And you donate it to the building fund. That's all we need you to do.
That's it. That's it.
That's it.
It ain't even 10%. The Lord asked for 10%. We didn't even ask it. We asked for 5.
We asked for 5.
That's it. That's all you got to do, people. Because in the words of my late great pastor, Pastor Wilson Douglas, these lights ain't free.
No.
That bathroom don't get clean for free.
Nope.
Everything we do, it costs money.
Mm-hmm.
Support.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Give to the building fund.
That's it.
Like, share, subscribe.
That's it.
Most importantly, click on that button.
That's
when it. You're on your way to work, tune in to listen to us. You're at the office. We don't misbehave. Your boss can listen to. It's okay.
Sometimes.
We'll let you know if we misbehave.
We're gonna have to do like the March Madness. Now the March Madness app got the boss button.
Yeah.
When you click boss and you just put up some work stuff. We have to get one of those. But yeah, but in all seriousness, people, all we ask you to do is like, share, and subscribe. That's it. That supports our efforts and supports our podcast, mm-hmm. man. That's it. So but in the meantime, we appreciate you guys watching, listening, joining, however you.
Oh, one more thing. I forgot. A lot of people always ask about my t-shirts.
Oh, like that's right. How do we forget?
See, I got one here. Let me get this out the way. This is my Raise Boom Boom Room t-shirt. So people always ask all the time, man, where do you get that shirt from? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go to our website, btpsportstalk.com. Click on shop, and you're going to see all the t-shirts that t-shirts, cups, pens, pencils, you name it, all kind of stuff. You name it, it's gonna be on. It's gonna be on there. So
that's it.
Support the BTP Sports Talk shop as well. It's in the works, but it's gonna be called throwbacksrus.com. So everything old before school,
this we dude got you covered. Is the king. Now I'm the king of Detroit sports gear. Which, of course, speaking of which, as soon as I leave here, I'm going across the street to Minute Maid to watch my Tigers get busy against the Astros. You know, my Tigers are in town, so that's why I'm all Detroited out anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, today is a little extra. But y'all know, this man is the king of old school t-shirts, man. He's got the Clubber Lane. He got the WrestleMania. And he's always done it. This is not a gimmick. Mm-hmm. Ever since I've known him, he's always rocked old school classic t-shirts. Mm-hmm. That's his deal. And one more thing. I don't want to hear nothing about no fucking boom, boom, room.
Shut your mouth and your fat ass, boy.
If we got to explain to you where that come from, we ain't talking to you.
Yeah.
But that's it, man. We always appreciate you guys for joining. And make sure, like I said, you are subscribed to all of our social media platforms. We are on Instagram at BTP_sports. We're on Twitter at BTP Sports. We are on Facebook at BTP Sports Talk. We're on YouTube at Bring the Pain Sports. And of course, subscribe to me at Big M Brock on Twitter. Great Sports Morpheus on Twitter. We love you. We appreciate you. And we will see you next week.
Peace.